Time for the best 5 minutes of the day. Our friend Jason Cann's on the other end of the phone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm. And here we are, the other side of Valentine's Day.
Yep.
Boy, I really enjoyed the time we had yesterday, and I had to leave early, so I had to come in this morning to make sure to get here to save the segment that had been recorded, and I did, and so I will get it up in the podcast, but that belovedness song from Sarah Kroger, Nathan Jess, very good. Thanks so much for introducing it to me and to the listeners.
Yeah, it sounds like a few people connected with the song. I shared it later on my Facebook page and seemed to connect with a few people, and I'm really grateful for that. So,
yeah. All right, well, we've got ourselves, we've got our work cut out for us today, but here was the quote. I just asked you before we got on the air if you had seen. And again, Elmbrook Church in Milwaukee, Mel Lorenz, longtime pastor, associate pastor. He's been a pastor at large, apparently from a book, How to Understand the Bible. Here's a quote. I think you're going to like it. I got 14 likes on my Facebook page, including our friend Donna. He said, love is really why we have scripture, why God breaks the silence and silences the noise. You're okay with that?
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it all comes back to love, right? I mean, I think that's I think that was my hope in even writing Letters to the Beloved was how do we understand Scripture if we believe God is a God, if we truly believe that God is a God of love.
Right.
And it seems like Mel gets at that.
He does. So there you go. That was encouraging to me because Elmbrook, a non-denominational church, is largely one of the largest. It's where the funeral was held earlier this week for the fallen police officer in Milwaukee. And it certainly is kind of the heart of evangelicalism. And so if that's being expressed, that's encouraging. All right. Well, we reach here in Crabfest here, 2023, yet another fantastic and so important a book here for Larry Crabb, Connecting, Jason.
Yeah. Yeah, so connecting, you know, I think is really, if a person wanted to get a good sense of Larry, this is, would be a great place to start. He wrote this book in 97, and, you know, even as I talked with him about this, he really thinks this was a turning point in his thinking and writing, really gets to the idea of a deep relational theology, the importance of connecting with one another. And he talked about this kind of traditional counseling approaches, you know, one being kind of exhortation and accountability, another being treatment and repair. And he's saying, you know, here's this other way. Here's this third way that really looks at the importance of healing communities, focusing on the goodness of God, forgiveness of sin. And, you know, I think that, again, that relational piece is so central in connecting. And as we've talked about here, the idea of Trinitarian relating being really important and figuring really prominently. So, it's another really good book from him.
Yeah, that idea that just you need to be reminded of every day. I almost want to say every day now in my call to the day that God is love because God is Trinity and because God is a relational God. And you can't be reminded of it too much. And so that's at the heart there. But also as a, this one rankled some feathers in the counseling community too, though, didn't it? I mean, he had to kind of, it was thread a needle with it because he was talking about, we don't necessarily just need counseling experts, but we can do some of this work even within the laity.
Yeah, right. Yeah, which became a much bigger focus as he continued going along. Yeah. Uh-huh. If there was one thing Larry was particularly good at, it was rankling feathers.
So. He was.
Yeah. You know, and I, you know, I think there was just, he spoke what he felt like the Spirit was teaching him, and even amidst the pushback that he received.
And yet the Association of Christian Counselors continued to welcome him and highly esteem him. I mean, many did.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think if you look at the current generation, I think many, many people have been shaped by his approach to counseling. And, you know, when I talk to people out there who are writing about soul care, they've been deeply influenced by Larry.
Yeah. All right, finally, let's close on Scripture, Philippians 3:9 today.
Yeah, a short one. So it says, and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with him depends on faith.
Mm. And in Letters to the Beloved, your devotional commentary, Philippians 3:9, you say, your righteousness does nothing to save you. Perfectly keeping the law cannot save you. It is my Son who saves. Put your faith in him, believing that his righteousness, which is the only true righteousness, is yours for the asking. Final word.
Yeah, I think that's a good reminder for many of us as Christians that it's not what we do, right? I mean, it's the love of God who saves us. It's Christ's perfect righteousness. And sometimes that's hard to remember.
Absolutely. Thank you, friend. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Jason Cairns here, best 5 minutes of the day, WWIB. The number for the day, 459, that is the consecutive times a Japanese woman's dishwasher ran while she was away on vacation. Ouch. She started it just before she left, and it kept on running. Wow. Painful in terms of electricity. You called a winner on Max TV last night.
Yeah, exciting game between McDonald and Fall Creek, two teams at the top of the Western Clover Belt Conference, and 68-66, McDonald with a game winner with under 3 seconds left. It is the reason I don't have a ton of voice left.
Okay, very good. Win It Wednesday, WWIB, and there's a new game we've kind of fallen in love with.
Yes, so here on Win It Wednesday, it's a mystery song day again because WWIB is celebrating 50 years, and 50 years of music and ministry means there are a lot of songs that have passed over the airwaves from all of us to you, and so we like to bring one back and just give you a couple seconds to guess what in the world it is. But what we're looking for is the year out of those 50 years of WIB broadcasting. What year did that song come out? And then we'll tell you what it is.
There you go. So, and then we typically have played it the last couple of weeks. That may happen this morning as well. So 7232555. Caleb, tell them what they can win.
They can win two passes for 18 holes each of Blacklight Mini Golf, courtesy of Endgame Mini Golf inside the Cedar Mall in Rice Lake. That is a great rainy day activity. It is a great snow day activity. It's a great any day activity. I've done it. It's fantastic. Endgame Mini Golf, 18 holes, Blacklight Mini Golf, two passes for that.
All right, people want to win already. They're already calling. We haven't played the song clip. All right, little longer clip. I think this is a little lesser known song, but you don't have to name the song or the artist. You just have to tell us the year it's from.
Yeah, so we're looking out of WIB's 50 years. What year did this song come out? Let's take a listen.
All right, is that 2023 or a little earlier? 7232555. What year did that song come out? People are not going to know that song.
And the thing is, too, 715-723-2555, as people are starting to call, you don't even have to know the song or the artist. You're just guessing the year.
Absolutely.
So, you know what? Blind squirrels find nuts sometimes, too. Uh-huh. Good morning, WWIB on a Win It Wednesday mystery song today. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Oliver from Eau Claire.
Oliver from Eau Claire. What song, my friend?
What year?
1994.
1994. It is not 1994, Oliver. Try again. 715-723-2555. Yes, we are looking for the year, not the song. That's
unlike
my bad.
Unlike week one, we're not saying, you know, earlier or later. That's just, it wasn't 94. Guess again.
Wasn't 94. You've got 49 more options. Good morning. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Tony from Menominee.
Tony from Menominee on a Win It Wednesday. What year, Tony?
Let's go. 1989.
Tony from Menominee.
How did you know?
What in the world?
Tony, how did you know?
It was a lucky guess. I was going to go with 90, and 89 I went with. Liz, my wife, won the ticket, so we both won.
That's fantastic.
Man, you guys are fantastic winners. Yeah, so this song,
it means a lot to me. It opened our wedding. It was one of four songs at our wedding. It's called Beautiful by Michelle Wagner. She was the 1989 New Artist of the Year.
That's crazy. That was the year my brother Josh was born, was 1989.
Wow.
Let's hear that song, shall we?
It's
Michelle
really
Wagner. It's called Beautiful. Tony from Menominee, congratulations. Hang on the line. We'll let you know how to get those Endgame Mini Golf passes. 50 years of broadcasting. This one from 1989.
The WIB Wake Up Show, WWIB, on a Wednesday morning. Four things you didn't know yesterday.
Dropping a little knowledge on you. For instance, this is crazy. You know how they talk about everything's bigger in Texas? Well, how about Montana? The world's, not the United States, but the world's largest snowflake on record fell in Fort Keogh, Montana in 1887.
I don't believe this.
It was 15 inches wide and 8 inches thick. That is not a snowflake. That is like a snow bowling ball.
That's a Paul Bunyan story
what
right there.
What in the world?
No way.
Crazy.
All right. Well, in 2006, a woman named, well, Christie Brinkley received, there's a well-known woman named Christie Brinkley who was married to Billy Joel at one point, but a woman named Christie Brinkley received a letter from the U.S. government thanking her for her service in the Gulf War. The only problem, yeah, she's a supermodel and had never served in the military.
But thanks anyway, Christie. Four things you didn't know yesterday here in the WIB Wake Up Show. A single teaspoon of a neutron star would weigh about 6 billion tons due to the incredibly dense matter. I have to read that again. A single teaspoon of a neutron star would weigh about 6 billion tons due to the incredibly dense matter. What incredible creation. We have 6 billion tons in a teaspoon, Alvo.
You just took me back to high school science class right there.
That's
finally
so cool.
This morning, the Eiffel Tower was originally built as a temporary structure for the 1889 World's Fair and was almost demolished after the event was over, but somebody said, wait!
Let's not knock this thing over.
Maybe people will like it. It could be like a tourist attraction.
That is crazy. Four things you didn't know yesterday here on the WIB Wake Up Show. A little knowledge for you.
Well, it is Singles Awareness Day, but even before that, you know, the whole idea of dating here on the day after Valentine's Day. And, you know, the question is kind of what creative rules did your parents put around dating for you growing up, or what creative rules do you as a parent have for your kids? And somebody weighed in on TikTok who had a kind of an interesting experience. Let's give this a listen.
My parents originally said that we weren't allowed to date until we were 16. Completely normal rule. However, then they switched things up and added in that you were not allowed to date somebody until they came over to the house and completed a 1,000-piece puzzle with you. So this person would have to come over to the house multiple times, sit in like the family room or kitchen, dining room area, so that you were in a public space and work on doing a puzzle. Their idea behind that was that no person who is interested in you for the wrong reasons would spend that much time with you and your family just like talking and getting to know each other. I wouldn't know. I never had anybody to do a puzzle with.
I love it. I love the creativity, the ingenuity of those parents.
1,000-piece puzzle. And and again, it's not something that you can do. Rome wasn't built in a day, and a 1,000-piece puzzle wasn't completed in an afternoon. So it's a great way of not saying, hey, anyone that you want to date, we got to get to know them. But it's just you put that creative rule. It's like, hey, we're gonna see how somebody responds when they come visit us a lot, when they're doing maybe an arduous activity from time to time, depending on your proclivity toward puzzles.
And if you're genuinely interested, you're not in a hurry, you know?
Yeah, it's just about spending time with the person.
Laying the groundwork for true love.
Puzzles. So many uses. Well, before this next song from Ann Wilson, I want to share a little something that my brother Josh posted on Facebook. Usually we share some of the funny things, the parodies, the music videos, original songs and things like that. He's very talented, works in Christian radio in St. Cloud, Minnesota. But my mom has a tradition where she always, always makes a Valentine's gift basket for each of her kids. Again, there's 9 of us. There's a lot of us. It doesn't matter if you live 3 hours away in St. Cloud or 45 minutes in Chippewa Falls or still live in her own home. Mom always, always does that for us. And so my brother Josh posted a picture of the gift basket that he got from Mom, and he posted this. He says, I think real love so often flies under the radar. It's the kind of love that makes countless home-cooked meals for family and friends. It wrestles through difficult math problems with a frustrated child. It shows up time after time to games, plays, and concerts. It asks and prays about things others have completely forgotten. It sends an encouraging text, cleans the church on a Saturday night, stays up late to wrap presents, and plays patiently with the grandkids. It sends Valentine's goodies to a grown-up kid every single day. Year. That kind of love isn't attention seeking. It's quiet, it's faithful, and it's beautiful. It's my mom.
I had fun doing the NFL picks with you. partly because I won, but, you know, whatever. So I'll give you a chance at redemption in the NCAA tournament. That would be fun. Figure out something with that. But
we got to bring back our tournament as well,
I know. I know. That is coming in March, too, the CCM tournament. I remember Jason Gray got to the finals, but...
Well, and the surprise last year, the Cinderella Johnny in our Cash. CCM tournament here on the Wib Wake Up Show was Johnny Cash.
Yeah,
no, that last was year. It was so much fun. So,
we'll
stay tuned for that.
All right, but how to make March Madness more interesting?
Because, again, we're about a month away from the first of those epic college basketball games. Just a fantastic tournament. But some people are like non-sportsy. Some people don't care that much about basketball or college basketball. And so here's some ideas that someone came up with, ways to make college basketball a little bit more interesting this March.
For instance, you know, a slam dunk is powerful. It's a statement. It's an exclamation point. But occasionally you miss a slam dunk. And if that happens, the suggestion is, what if you lose a point for a missed slam dunk? I like the concept of potentially losing points somehow.
This is fun. For non-sportsy folks, ways to make you more interested in college basketball. How about this? The last 2 minutes of each half played with all the lights out in the stadium and a fluorescent ball and rim.
That's crazy.
That'd be fun to watch.
That is goofy. All right, how about another one? If the ball somehow makes its way to the coach on the sideline, he or she may take a shot if the ball bounces to them.
There you go. Involve the coaches in the game. A lot of them played in the past as well.
Yeah.
And then how to make March Madness more interesting, college basketball rule updates. For the non-sports fan, each team must play their mascot a minimum of 3 minutes. Can they use the trampolines like they do at halftime?
Play by play. And now the mascot has entered the game.
Yes. That'd be a lot of fun. Ways to make March Madness a little bit more interesting if you are not quite as into sports.